After the Constitution was written in 1787, and there was the goal to get it ratified by the different states, some of the founding fathers, including Patrick Henry, Sam Adams, and others, said, well, this document seems to lack provisions, guarantees of such important things as religious liberty. And so the founding fathers made a deal. Okay, we will go ahead and include those in a special series, the Bill of Rights, which became the first 10 amendments. The first 10 amendments, and the very first freedom that was guaranteed in the very first amendment is religious freedom. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. And this was historically understood to mean there'll be no national denomination in America. You won't have the Church of America like the way you have the Church of England, and those nonconformists who don't conform to the Church of America would be punished for their views. Nope, wouldn't happen, not here in America. But what's happened today is that the First Amendment, the religious part, is often twisted to imply that there's a separation of God and state, and that the founding fathers would not have agreed on. I mean, if you look at things that they did, including some of the least religious amongst them, like Thomas Jefferson or Ben Franklin. Hello and welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and our guest right now is Brad Dacus, who is an attorney, and he's the president of Pacific Justice Institute. And I'll tell you what, we cannot have enough of these kinds of organizations that are fighting for religious freedom in the courts of our land and also the courts of public opinion. Brad, it's great to have you on the program. Thanks so much for joining us.
Oh, thank you, Jerry. I appreciate all you do as well. Thank you.
Sure. And I think what would be good would be maybe you could go ahead and comment a little bit on the history, what the founders intended as far as religious liberty is concerned, and then we could talk about some of the Pacific Justice Institute-type cases that you're dealing with that have implications, you know, when this First Amendment is distorted.
Yeah, the founding fathers intended not freedom from religion, but freedom of religion. I went to law school at the University of Texas, and one of my professors, who was an ACLU member, said, yeah, use the word freedom from religion. I said, no, it's freedom of religion. He said, that's right. So oftentimes we need to, you know, just to stand up for our rights and stand up for what the truth is. Oftentimes the other side knows full well what the truth is, and they're just trying to change to a new reality. But our Constitution is very clear that religious freedom is a fundamental right, and it's something that's afforded to everyone in the United States. And we at Pacific Justice Institute take it very seriously. We now have offices, Jerry, as you know, from coast to coast, 16 offices, or 16 states. We have 20 offices stretching into 16 states, from Miami to New York, Boston, Atlanta, Seattle, Oregon, California, and then of course many cities in between.
But we're
committed to do this work completely without charge as needed.
Your home base, of course, is California Pacific Justice Institute. And would you do a favor, explain the difference between what you were saying and what your law professor was saying? In other words, what's the difference between freedom of religion versus freedom from religion?
Yeah, freedom of religion guarantees your right to practice your faith, to express your faith, to share your faith. Freedom from religion is not in the Constitution, but it's they try to read it into the Establishment Clause, and of course that would be basically guaranteeing you to never be exposed to faith and to silence any expression of faith to anyone who doesn't want to hear it. That's not upheld in the Constitution. The majority on this Supreme Court, thanks to the great appointments by President Donald Trump, clearly are in favor of freedom of religion, not freedom from religion.
Well, you know, it's interesting when I hear you say all these things and I think about some of the lawsuits against religious expression in the public arena. In effect, the Christians who've been sued, or let's say Orthodox Jews who've been sued, and the strict separation of church and state folks like the ACLU, Freedom From Religion Foundation, etc. They've taken away and stripped away public expression or religious expression in the public arena. In effect, that was the early stages of what we all now know as cancel culture. And we even have major liberals coming out and speaking out against cancel culture. But in effect, the Christians were the ones who were the victims of cancel culture early on in this culture war. Would you agree? Why don't you wax eloquent on that?
Yeah, you're absolutely correct. And in fact, the cancel culture and war on Christian expression or religion is very evident in the fact that when we first started Pacific Justice Institute in 1997, we didn't have any criminal defense cases. Now, 30%, Jerry, 30% of our cases at Pacific Justice Institute are criminal defense cases. And here's the kicker. All of these people have things in common, these criminal defendants, if you will. They're all ministers. They're all preaching the gospel in public places protected by the Constitution. That's why they're being criminally prosecuted. All across the country, all across the nation.
For example, disturbing the peace or something like that?
Yeah, they'll be in a public area near, you know, in a public sidewalk. You know, lots of noise, people going by. But if they're preaching the gospel, they're singled out and said, oh, no, you can't do this. Or you're passing out gospel tracts. Oh, you can't do that. If you're passing out baseball cards, no problem. If you're, you know, announcing event coming up, no problem. But if you're preaching the gospel, passing out your testimony, then suddenly there's a problem. We at Pacific Justice have taken all these cases in states literally all over the country. It'd be a long list of states. Right now we have litigation ongoing across the country. We even in high schools, we had a case involving a student who was suspended from school for sharing his faith. He was a brand new Christian. He was excited. And he was told, don't you know you can't share your faith here? You can't talk about your faith at this high school here in Washington State. And we went ahead and we represented him. And the federal judge said, oh, yes, he can share his faith. This is his protected right under the Constitution. So oftentimes, Jerry, it's just standing up to the bullies and protecting our freedoms. And that's what we're committed to doing all over the country. One thing that makes us unique also, Jerry, is we don't just cherry pick. High-profile cases. We're unique in that we make sure that no one goes it alone, that everyone gets the representation assistance that they need without charge.
Wow, that's neat. As far as the whole overall picture here, where there's a lot of discrimination, anti-Christian bias, and so forth at work here, isn't it ironic in light of the fact that, honestly, America was founded in many ways? You can point to, the Pilgrims and the Puritans and the Quakers and so forth. America was largely founded by those who were seeking religious freedom. And when the founders established the country, as I said, the first freedom that they guaranteed was the religious freedom. And yet here we are in this situation where it's religious freedom that's often at risk.
Yeah, exactly. That's so much under attack. You know, we see it also manifested right now as we speak in a major way with regards to individuals who have sincere religious convictions against taking the COVID vaccine. Now, there's different perspectives on this.
Sure.
But that's why we have the Religious Freedom Clause, because religious freedom needs protection when not everyone agrees with it, especially when you're in the minority. And so we have right now millions of people in the military, doctors, nurses, teachers, who are all about to lose their jobs in an intolerant society, not willing to accommodate their sincere religious beliefs and allow them to wear a mask and be tested instead of having to take a vaccine they don't need. In fact, many of them have already had COVID and actually have a stronger, broader immunity than anything that the vaccine can give them. So we at Pacific Justice on our website, Jerry, have put all kinds of resources to empower people on how they can know how they can write a religious exemption request, protect their children from getting the vaccine against their will in a public school or private school. This is very important, and we encourage parents to take advantage and others take advantage of this resource on our website, pji.org.
But hasn't the Supreme Court turned down a couple of these emergency appeals related to this issue, such as some Christian health workers in Maine, something like 2,000 Christian health workers in Maine, wanting a religious exemption? The Supreme Court said no, although I don't, maybe they said no on the process as opposed to the substance of it, but it's still the same effect.
Right.
You know, the request was denied.
And you're right, it is a process, but this is real important. Three of the justices, Thomas, Alito, and Neil Gorsuch, were all in favor of granting the injunction, the emergency injunction, right there to protect these people to have a religious exemption when the state already has allows for a medical exemption. The other two justices, Amy Coney Barrett and Kavanaugh, they seemed empathetic, but their position was, they were asking for an emergency injunction. This is not protocol. This can be addressed. It needs to have the full case on the merit needs to come before the court. I believe because of that position, along with the other three, that there are the five votes needed to protect religious exemptions. And in the end, I think it's going to come back and hit a lot of employers, including government agencies, with huge liabilities just because they chose not to be tolerant and accommodative towards people who've sacrificed so much to serving our country, like police, firemen, et cetera. We have a major lawsuit on behalf of class action lawsuit on behalf of firefighters in Washington State, police officers in Los Angeles, people back east in New York who've sacrificed. They've worn masks. They've been able to be safe, and now they're suddenly told that that doesn't work, and they have to sacrifice their faith or lose their jobs and be on the streets. And we at Pacific Justice are standing up for them because their religious beliefs need to be protected. I think at the end of the day, we're going to have the Supreme Court agree with that resolutely.
Okay, we have a couple minutes left. Why don't you tell us maybe one or two stories of some of the cases that just really are egregious examples of the way the First Amendment is being distorted, religious freedom being denied, again, in a country that was founded primarily for religious freedom.
We have a church up in Oregon that's told that they can't have homeschoolers meet at their church in the education wing of their church. So we have filed a lawsuit saying, no, this is a part of their ministry. They can definitely do that, and that's protected speech. We also are so busy defending up in Washington State, a Korean spa that they're owned by Christians, and they don't want to let a man go into the women's part of the spa where everyone is disrobed and naked. That would not be appropriate. As Christians, they highly object to it. Well, he claims he has gender identity dysphoria. And so the state of Washington is suing this Christian-owned business for wanting to be decent and protect the girls and the moms in the women's part of the Korean spa. Well, we at Pacific Justice are defending them. There's also an outdoor church service near Planned Parenthood. It's on public property. It's protected by law up there in the Seattle area. And they're being sued by Planned Parenthood to stop them because Planned Parenthood says that they're losing business. I'm glad they're losing business. But even though the church service happens when the clinic is closed on Sundays, Planned Parenthood wants to shut them down. We at Pacific Justice are defending their right to have open public praise and worship and preaching on public places that are protected by the First Amendment. These are just a few of our many examples of cases involving defense of religious freedom. A professor is being fired from his job in Moreno Valley Community College because of his faith. We've already won several rounds in this case, in this litigation, and we're going to continue to fight this all with Supreme Court if necessary.
PJI.org. We have half a minute left. Are you optimistic or pessimistic about the future in light of the things you see in the courts and in the culture at large?
And as far as the courts, I'm optimistic. I think President Trump gave us the biggest gift he possibly could with fantastic federal court appointments. If he's back in office in 2024, I think we'll see a whole nother string of fantastic federal court appointments. So I'm optimistic there. Spiritually, we need revival, and that comes with people giving their lives to Christ and living for Christ, and we need to be praying for such a revival. In the long run, that's what saves a nation, and we at Pacific Justice Institute understand that full well.
Brad Dacus, PJI.org. Thanks so much for being with us, Brad. All the best.
You too, Jerry.